Hello, this is going to be a fast ad. Why? Because Honey searches for promo codes for you pretty fast. It's simple as that. And now that the ad's over, just go to joinhoney.com/OP for fast savings on your favorite stores. That's joinhoney.com/OP.
Thank you, Honey. Go ahead. We've made the big time. We're starting with ads now.
We have little pre-rolls to let you know that we're serious.
I've never seen another podcast in my life before, like anyone else's podcast. Is that a normal thing? Is that what they do?
Oh, actually, a lot of podcasts don't usually get them. Do them all.
I don't know. Is that a legitimate thing? Is that how they start?
Yes.
Of course.
Fuck that. I never listen to it.
You don't listen to podcast. Any podcast? To any others?
Doesn't fucking Joe Rogan start his show literally pulling out a tiny piece of paper and just reading every one of his ads verbatim?
Well, no. Twitter would have me believe that Joe Rogan starts every podcast being incredibly racist.
That too.
That's how he starts.
No, he does them all bunched up. He does like a 5-minute ad read at the beginning of his shows and then cuts that out of the live streamed one.
Yeah. Well, hey, we cut ours out of the Patreon, so we're not all evil.
We're heroes.
Yeah, if anything, we're heroes. We deserve medals.
You're welcome. Who's getting called in the middle of our show?
No, it was my alarm just in case I slept through the first one.
Oh, okay. Wait, your alarm is set 10 minutes after the show's supposed to start?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Was it just in case I slept through the first one? Yeah.
But then shouldn't you put the second one a little bit later, but before the show starts?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Now you're talking crazy.
I'm telling you, you need to get one of those old-timey cartoony alarms with the bells. Those fuckers will wake your dead relatives up there so fucking loud. They'll shake the building.
God, I miss those big old grandfather clocks, too. When was the last time you guys saw a grandfather clock that someone had used in earnest? Like, actually set the alarm and heard it bong and, like, check the time
like
on it?
Like a, what are they, cuckoo clocks?
No, those like a
the grandfather.
Like the pendulum like swinging cabinets. Back and forth.
Yeah, the big, giant, tall clocks. Geez,
I don't think I've ever seen one of those antique stores.
My mom used to have one when I was little, like even up to 15 years ago, I think. That's the only one I've ever seen anywhere.
Yeah, I want to believe maybe my aunt or some relative had one when I was growing up, and I thought it was cool, and I vaguely remember it. I guess they're such a dead fucking thing by this point.
Yeah, do you think there's much money in the clock making industry? Because I know you have to go through like a whole bunch of like university stuff to be able to make watches and clocks.
There is in fashion, like if you're making designer watches, people will buy them. But in terms of...
What are you
of,
talking about? Being a watchmaker isn't like a like clown college or something. You can just pivot from whatever degree you had in college to making watches and clocks. It's not like a lifelong profession.
What? No, you still have to go to like, you still have to learn how to do it at like a...
Well, that's everything in the world.
Well, yeah, but there's like a university for it. I had a friend who went to one.
To Clock University?
Yeah. maybe it was like a European thing. I don't know. I just assumed that it was like...
I mean,
like
I'm sure there's courses. It can't just be...
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely
passed
courses.
Down to generations only.
But it's not like it's like art school, you know? It's not something like that, right? It's not like a whole university dedicated to clock making.
But that's how they described it to me, unless I were just pulling my leg. That's where they said they went to the university, though. Or college.
No, it's just majors watchmaking. Like it's just like a course you take. It's not like a whole university.
No, Charlie, I'm looking into this. Watchmakers take it pretty seriously. Like they're talking about how if you're only sort of committed to watchmaking, you shouldn't do it. With watchmaking, it's a binary decision. You can't be half pregnant. Either you fully commit to this or you're not in. Dave?
Of course, there's watch universities and like majors.
I have no doubt that it's taken industry. Very seriously. Yeah, it's just there's not like colleges dedicated.
There is dedicated college. Well,
there are apparently three watchmaking schools in the United States. It's not widely publicized, but it's still going.
I mean,
is it like the University of Chronology or something? That sounds sick as.
That sounds fucking cool if that's real.
Yeah, I do want a degree from chronology.
You become like a time wizard. Certified time master. It's pretty fucking cool.
It's kind of funny to think about what's dying and deprecated when it used to be just so ubiquitous. One that I was thinking about lately is there are probably people listening to the show right now that have never watched cable TV. Just because streaming it. Well, it's only a good thing, yeah, but streaming is just so prevalent for the last, like, what, 15 years now?
Definitely not 15, maybe 10. Maybe 10.
Well, when did Netflix really start booming? Like 2008? 2007?
No, Jesus,
whoa,
no.
Whoa.
No?
No, it was like 2012. That's when it really started to kick off.
Okay. Still, that's what, 9-10 years?
Yeah.
So
back in 08, they were probably just starting, they started like, when they started, they were sending out like DVDs
through mail.
Right. But it's kind of
super popular. But
it's kind of funny to me that like people bitch really hard about ads on online content, and the system used to be literally you'd get 22 minutes of content with what, 11 minutes of ads.
And you paid for it.
And you paid for it, not the other way around.
Oh my God. Do you guys remember shows like Sorry, 24 go. Where it was like an hour long block, but of that block there were 6 commercials at least. So of an hour you got about 30 to 35 minutes worth of the show.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, like the issue isn't time spent watching ads to time spent watching the episode. The ads always cut the episode up into such weird chunks as well, so the pacing of all the episodes feels really weird. So you're not even getting like a quality product at the end of the day.
Everything is cut around those ads, all the cliffhangers and everything. That's why even today when you download sitcoms and shit, they're all 22 minutes in order to accommodate for 8 minutes of advertising.
I'm actually curious how much of an impact like that kind of format had with ads, like what kind of impact that had on the actual shows like writing and production. Well, like they would have to plan out like cliffhangers, like you said, and like the plot of each episode based around where it's going to be cut, like
they would have to do that because the timing requirements would be very strict. For example, one that I know is Family Guy, at least in the earlier seasons, had to be exactly 22 and a half minutes long, like exactly on the dot that long to fit in the proper ad space and to not go over their time slot. So that would definitely be... See, that's the beauty of internet entertainment. You can make shit as long as you want. If you have a video and it's super compelling, you can stretch it for however long, or if you want to keep it short, you can keep it short. But with TV, you got to fill the time slot. Shows had to be however long it was, like 12 minutes or 22 minutes or 48 or whatever the weird time was to accommodate the slot and the commercials.
Yeah, but still, you guys remember that scene in Game of Thrones where they have the queen walking through the streets naked and everybody's like pointing their fingers at her, like shame, and throwing tomatoes at her. I think they should still do that to everyone who makes 4-hour long movies. It should be like government regulated somehow. I don't know.
I get the feeling you guys can't watch movies in pieces like I can.
I don't like to.
Yeah.
What's wrong? You watch an hour of a movie one day and then go, okay, I'll watch some more tomorrow. I remember
why not make it a TV show then? It stays its welcome. Like you have one premise and you're just stretching it out. There's obviously not enough material for a TV show, but you also don't want to distill it down to the most important 2 hours of it. Instead, you think that there's so much amazing stuff in it that it has to be 4 hours long, which it just doesn't.
The problem with going the TV show route, though, is that you have to make things feel conclusive and have beginnings. So imagine you make a 4-hour movie and it's like, okay, after the first hour, where do we cut this off? What if the character's mid-sentence? Like, what if the end of the first hour, the scene is they're just like having fun on a swing set instead of like cutting it out at a climactic moment? Then if you make it a TV show, you get wildly different time strains for episodes. Like one episode, it's like, oh, if we cut it off at 30 minutes, it'll be really impactful and well written. But for this scene, we're going to have to cut it off after like an hour and a half. So it's like, it's a less convenient format, in my opinion, if you're writing a movie and you have to chop it up. That's just what I think. Oh, well.
Jackson, you brought up the Austin Jones. Don't worry, I'm not going to put you on the spot. The Austin Jones court case, you sent it to me. So for those who might not remember,
I was going to explain why I brought that to you randomly. I was just going down like memory lane. I was thinking about all the topics, the fun topics that we've talked about in the past, and the Austin Jones one is one that we always share fondly, happy memories of. And I was just, I've never actually looked into the court documents. I've always just heard stories from you guys about it, but I was actually reading through the court documents, and it gets even wilder than you guys like previously said.
Would you like to read your favorite quote there that you sent me?
Yeah, I can do. So this is just one quote that I sent Kaya.
So again, to clarify for those of you who may have missed it, though, Austin Jones is the guy who made like 14-year-olds clap their asses at him. The YouTuber who made them say, "I'm 14, this is my 14-year-old butthole." It's for Austin Jones. Easily creating the most convenient case for the prosecution ever seen. All right, take it away, Jackson.
It's insane how dedicated he was to putting himself behind bars, I guess. I've never seen anyone act so malevolent against themselves. Anyway, so he says, Jones further instructs the victim to say, "Hey, Austin, it's..." Insert her name here. "I'm so lucky you're letting me do this because I'm 15. Watch my 15-year-old boobs bounce." After she sent Jones the video depicting her bouncing and saying the lines, Jones instructed her to say, "Pull the top down more to show the tops of your nipples while you bounce and state, 'I'm only 15. My boobs are huge.' No, I'm only 15.
It's so over the top ridiculous. He's like,
this is like, these are the kind of instructions I would send somebody if I was trying to frame them, like set them up, right? It's like, say, okay, girly, listen up. Say Jackson's name and mention your age 27 times, okay? This is very important. I need to get him behind bars. Like, this guy set himself up almost. This is impressive.
It's like in cartoons when the villain's doing something evil, and he's like, "This is evil, and this is why it's evil."
It really is. Oh, but if anybody wants to look
never,
this up...
He was never satisfied either. Wait, he was never satisfied with the videos. He just kept coming back to them and demanding that they send him more videos of different like situations, always saying your age, like always making them tell him their age.
Do you think that was actually part of the fetish? Like, yeah, he's going, a child, that's pretty hot. But the thing that really got him off was knowing how illegal it was and them saying, "You're going to go to jail. And, ooh, look at this terrible shit you're doing."
I
don't know if he was even really smart enough. This almost sounds like someone who genuinely thought there would be no repercussions for this. I don't know. You can tell he's into the naughtiness of it, clearly. But
no,
how can you possibly be this risky?
No, I absolutely think he was aware of the risk that he ran doing this, because he was actually called out about it long before he kept doing it. And like, so back in like 2014 or 2015, I think he was making women, young girls twerk through Facebook. And then that became public and he got called out for it. Rightfully so, obviously. But then somehow he managed to avoid any kind of significant backlash. He made like an apology video, like talking about his trauma during his childhood or whatever. And people gave him his career still after that. And then like 2 years later, then this all happens and he wasn't able to avoid going to jail because he provided all the evidence that the prosecution needed.
It's always my favorite excuse people give when they're caught in like these weird situations is, "I suffered through childhood trauma. I had abusive parents." Yeah, well, like, you know, a lot of people did. They don't diddle children. There's plenty of people who've lived through really shitty things who don't act like you do. This is a 27-page document, by the way, chock full of this guy just asking 14-year-olds to clap their asses and bounce their boobs, which are big, apparently, despite them only being 14, as Austin made them say. If you want to look it up for yourself, it's called the United States District Courts, Northern District of Illinois, Eastern Division, United States of America v. Austin Jones.
That's a really cool title.
The entire United States came together.
Yeah, it turns out it's a federal crime to receive child porn. So let me do a control F for boobs here, which already yields 5 results. In April 2017, while communicating over Facebook, Jones asked victim C if she had time for a list of videos. A list of videos. This guy's ordering like a whole menu. and send victim C a request for one ass bouncing, one boobs bouncing, one braces licking, wear a thong, no shirt at all so I can see her nipples, high socks, and shoes. Jones told victim C that she was so lucky that he kept giving her chances to send him videos. Fucking douche.
Well, one of my favorite quotes he sent to this poor 14-year-old girl is, this is a quote from Jones via Facebook, "You have such a cute butthole." He truly is a romantic.
During the, this is where it like gets sad and cringe. During the chat, victim C told Jones that she, quote, "had to fight the urge to cut last night because I promised you I wouldn't do it anymore." Jones understood victim C to be referring to harming herself by cutting her own skin, which Jones and victim C had previously discussed in their chats. Jones responded with, "Good girl. Do you remember when you laid your phone flat on the ground and squatted over it so I could see your butthole?"
What Jesus the fuck?
Fucking Christ.
This is a response to her saying that she's gonna cut herself.
Oh my god.
Well, yeah.
What an
no shit that he only thought of these girls as just meat for him to
Yeah, I feel bad for these fucking victims. This is inhumane.
It's horrible. And this is the worst part. He only got 10 years.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It's
10 years.
He's released in, what, 2027, I think?
Yeah.
Good lord.
So I looked into this. The maximum sentencing that you can get for this, his particular crime, is 20 years imprisonment.
What?
And I think it's a statutory minimum of 5 years. So if everything goes good for a guilty person in that situation and they have a lenient judge, the minimum they can get is 5 years. So he was pretty much in the middle of that, I think.
Well, then how did Jared Fogle had significantly more, but still, it's the same crime, right? And he did this for a long time, directly to victims. Why is it so different?
If anything, his crime has some, like, worse stuff attached to it because he potentially fucked them up.
I definitely think he's worse. He actually created child pornography.
Like there's
like,
a difference between
soliciting.
Yeah, there's a difference between you just collect and like find and save child porn and you actively go out and not only create it but do it in a way that could like traumatize and really fuck
well,
up
you're,
the
you're,
people
you're
involved.
You're victimizing
which one
entirely
are you talking
new,
about?
Jared Fogle, the subway guy, the guy that had like 15 quadruple bites worth of child porn.
That was on the court record.
He also had sex with children. Like he met with them for sex too.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's why they threw the fucking book at him. It's not just him collecting however many terabytes of porn here.
Well, don't discredit him. It was way above terabytes. They had to measure it in petabytes, I believe.
Yeah, come on. He dedicated his life to that.
My bad.
Yeah. Jared only had two passions in life, subway and children. That was it.
Yeah, here. He agreed to plead guilty in federal court to possessing child pornography and traveling to pay for sex with minors.
Mm.
How many petabytes was it?
Oh, okay. So I think age also has something to do with it. Fogle had porn of like as young as 6-year-olds, which is, that's
Jesus Christ.
Extremely.
Oh
fucked
God.
Up.
Of course. Anyway, back to Austin Jones. The butthole brings up three results. Let's see what else we get.
Well, wait a minute. No, Charlie.
He doesn't
not
use
even
the word tits. That is odd.
Charlie, not even Fogle got that hard of a sentence. For all of his shit, he only got 13 years.
Wait, that's about the same as
Jared's. Jared Fogle's full official penalty is 13 to 15 years in prison, a lifetime of supervised release, and a handful of fines. That's it.
Did he plead guilty?
I distinctly remember they were taking this guy down for life.
No, I'm on the Wikipedia page. Yeah.
Wow, yeah, 13 to 15 years.
That's it.
That's within the sentencing guidelines.
It's awful.
So I think they get a discount if they just plead guilty immediately.
Discount?
A discount?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
It's
like
called
a
plea bargain.
It's called a plea deal.
It basically says, look, let's kind of settle this between us. Let's not, you know, get super involved with the law and this and that.
Well, I mean, the law's involved.
I put it a bad way, but a plea bargain is basically like instead of fighting it super hard, I did it. Let's figure out a way to kind of have this work out for everybody. So
yeah, but I think you can do that with that. Like, if you just outright plead guilty at a like a court setting without going through any kind of bargaining situation, I think judges usually slightly more lenient with you because I don't know, like they think you're remorseful for your actions or whatever, and there's like actual guidelines for that.
Wow. Kaya's also right. He Fogel himself admitted when talking to the FBI that he abused children from ages 9 to 16.
I can't believe he only got 13 to 15 years. I actually fucking can't fucking astonished. Believe it.
Yeah.
Well, then how in the fuck is it such a lenient sentence? There's other like child abuse people that go away for life, rightfully so. Jared was like 15 steps above that. Man,
how did he?
I hope it's not because he was famous. Like,
wait, he actually raped underage people, and he was still sentenced on child porn charges following
Fogel's arrest. The FBI subpoenaed a series of text messages made in 2008 between Fogel and Subway franchisee Cindy Mills, with whom he was having a sexual relationship. In these messages, Fogel talked about sexually abusing children ranging age 9 to 16. Told herself to sell herself for sex on Craigslist, and also asked her to have sex with her 16-year-old cousin.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, good lord.
A real charmer.
Ugh.
What a hero.
So maybe they didn't actually charge him or sentence him as guilty of those charges, like the underage sex stuff, just child porn charges. That's the only way I could see him only getting 13 years. Because if he actually raped a child or something, surely he would go away for much longer.
Good lord.
Who knows, I guess.
We need to bring back chemical castration ASAP. What the fuck?
I just wanted to talk about funny Austin Jones, not sad.
No, get back to this.
sad Fogel actually raping kids.
If we want to talk about something funny, why don't we talk about the incredibly funny feeling we get when we wear MeUndies?
That comfortable feeling.
Exactly. That tingle, if you will.
Comfy feeling.
I know I'm the most handsome man on campus if I'm wearing MeUndies. It feels right in them. You feel correct. You plop it on, you go, yep, this is the underwear I should be wearing. That's right. This is exactly what I wanted. You know when you rush home to change into something more comfortable? That's MeUndies. It's like they pull clouds from the sky and spin it into their undies, socks, loungewear, and more. You can choose from endless styles in sizes from extra small all the way to 4XL. They also have sustainably soft micromodal and a new ultralight breathe fabrics that are comfy and breathable. And let me tell you something. I know all of you out there listening identify the four of us correctly as very large and strong men, but my girlfriend also wears MeUndies. And not only do they look good, but she says that they are very comfortable as well. So if you're a lady listening to this show and you are thinking, "Yeah, you know, MeUndies kind of a man's brand." No, they got comfortable panties and all sorts of other stuff you can check out. To get 15% off of your first order and free shipping, you can go to MeUndies.com/official. That's MeUndies.com/official. All four of us wear it. And they have, honestly, probably more patterns for underwear than I've seen anywhere else. So go check them out. There's so many different kinds you can get. 15% off your first order and free shipping at MeUndies.com/official. Look great on guys and gals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This guy really ordered his videos just like very demandingly. Victim D said, this is Austin now, not Fogel. Mm-hmm. Victim D said that she might have to finish this tomorrow because I have school in the morning. Jones responded that they would do 5 more videos. She said tomorrow, right? And Jones said, no, right now. Then we do the rest tomorrow. It's like she's literally just ordering people to send him fucking videos for nothing because they're supposed to feel lucky about this all.
Yeah, he uses a lot of like this is clearly like a fan power dynamic. Like I know we've talked shit about that idea in the past, but this is very clearly like abusing that dynamic.
Stick to cases like these, not when the women are 25.
No, he specifically says, like, you're my biggest fan, right? Those are quotes. Like, he plays on that a lot and directly.
This is some of the most reprehensible and disgusting behavior I've seen in a long time. Like, this is making me sick. This is awful. Jesus.
Yeah, I knew it was bad, but and the last time we had spoke about it, you guys had just said the quote about like clapping your butthole. It goes deeper than that. There is a lot here with Austin Jones.
Yeah, I mean, it is his best quote though. It's his greatest hit.
Yeah.
Christ, the jury loved it. Fucking weirdo. How old was he again? Like, how old is it going to be?
He's our age.
28.
Yeah.
28. Really? Jesus. Oof, he's going to be fucking 40 by the time he's out. That's rough. Good.
Is it though? I mean, based on what he did, shouldn't he?
He's going to have a very successful singing career when he leaves.
How do you even make a comeback from that? Like, do you guys think... I don't know. So imagine Austin coming out of prison at 40. He gets all his belongings back. You know, in the prison movies, they always give you back your, like, Zippo and your belt and your phone. That's now 15 years out of age. What do you do? You become a streamer and hope nobody fucking spams and trolls you? What do you,
I like, think about do that you think a lot.
Do you think they give him all these, like, butthole videos back?
No, I don't think so.
I think about that a lot. What if you're a criminal and you were a career criminal? So you very often, like, you've beaten people up, you've stole, maybe you've shot somebody, maybe you've killed somebody. You go to jail for a long time. What happens if you get out and you've repented, you've served your time, you genuinely feel bad, and you're like, oh, I want a job. I want to make a living. I go back to my old neighborhood and half the people there hate me and see me as a monster. How do you do that? What do you fucking do?
Depending on the crime, they deserve their second chance.
I agree. I totally agree.
If I was an employer, you know,
what's the point of having a jail system if once they're like rehabilitated and let free, society doesn't give them a second chance?
See, that's shitty thing, Jackson. Like, the whole point of prison is supposed to be rehabilitation and reformation.
Well, not in America.
Exactly.
No, that's absolutely not in America.
That's the alleged. That's the alleged intention of prison. It's supposed to turn them around and reform them. Obviously, it's not. But that's the whole point. If they go through jail, you would think that's the whole point. Oh, you know, you're a good citizen now. But no, the stigma is so strong that it's impossible to get jobs and people will just turn on you and completely ignore you if they know you were in prison. It's fucked.
Yeah, I agree. I do think they deserve a second chance. I mean, fuck, if the Alaskan Avenger came to me and it was like an employer, I look at his rap sheet, like, you did 23 years for what, beating up a bunch of pedophiles? Okay. You're now my right-hand man. Go, I don't know.
Stop the shows or something. You like the man even while he was committing his crimes.
Kaya would pay him more than he pays himself.
I would go to prison to hire him while he's still in prison.
he comes out, asks for a job for you, and you fucking hire him to beat up more pedophiles. You get him in jail again.
Kaya would make him his boss. He'd like, pledge his life to him.
Just form the Avengers. From now on, we are the Alaskan Avengers, plural. We're going to recruit people. No, like they absolutely deserve a second chance. I don't know about fucking people like Austin Jones, though. Like, it's not like you can cure people of pedophilia. How the fuck do you, like, deal with this? Clearly, he has to live the rest of his life away from children, right?
No matter
how much of a nice person you want to be and give people second chances, you can't hire that fucking guy to kindergarten.
Right, well, yeah, you can still rehabilitate someone.
There's some limits. Like, I really don't think Jared should ever be getting out, for example.
Yeah.
But he will be. So I don't think he deserves a second chance.
I agree. I don't think they should get out in the first place. These fucking sex crimes. Fucking rapists, murderers, and, like, as pedophiles in general. Like, I don't want to live in a society with you, okay? I want to be able to just have children and let them play in the neighborhood without worrying that some Austin Jones or Jared Fogle is going to come over to molest them. Leave them alone. I don't want you out of prison. I don't even want you in prison. I want you in the fucking grounds. But if you have to settle for a middle ground, at least make it a life sentence. And print license
still,
plate.
I'm bitch. Still fucking shocked how lenient those charges are. That is still baffling.
Ugh.
What's the point of a life? Well, I know what the point of a life sentence is, but what's the point of... It doesn't go hand in hand with rehabilitation if the goal is just to keep them locked up permanently. That's not rehabilitation.
It's a middle ground between like actually killing the person, because a lot of people don't look kindly on the death penalty.
If you're just going to do life sentences, just kill them.
There's a lot of different thought camps there. Some people believe that keeping them locked up for life is more torturous and they deserve that misery more than a quick death. Yeah. And then the other people on the other side think that it's immoral to take someone's life and the only one who has that right is God and shit like that.
And
there's also the aspect of what if we get it wrong, though, also? Yeah, like, okay, what if we execute this guy? And then, like, this happened a lot back when DNA was first, like, invented, you know, the method of DNA sequencing that, or, like, whatever you call it, you know, pulling someone's DNA from a crime scene. It's like, we've had this guy on death row for 20 years and he's been telling us that he's innocent, and we told him to go fuck himself. He's about to die, and turns out he is innocent.
Yeah.
And so that's why a lot of people are against it, too, and we just keep them in fucking prison for life.
What you're bringing up, Jackson, is the debate on the death penalty, and there's a whole giant rabbit hole there.
I get that. I just also, I get the debate about the death penalty. I just think it's pretty much the same as just locking them away permanently anyway. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just going to give them a life sentence, it's fundamentally the same thing.
Yeah, you can make the same argument about life sentences then. I mean, the argument of what if you got it wrong and we're going to execute this guy, this innocent guy? Well, I mean, what if you got it wrong and you're life imprisoning him innocently? You know, it's the same fucking thing. Plus, there's just so many cases, though, where it is clear cut. There's no reasonable doubt. The guy admitted to it himself. There's overwhelming fucking evidence, petabytes of him, like, diddling children. Like, maybe in those cases, it's okay to give him the fucking needle, you know? Maybe then. I'd be down for that.
And even then, that's a big gray area, because you'll have cases where they go, yep, here's the evidence, and they even confessed, and then years later they go, oh, no, they falsely confessed because of this and that, and it turns out, like, this evidence is for someone else.
To save Jared Fogle.
Yeah. There was that guy. You brought up the DNA evidence earlier. He was one of the first guys where that happened, where he was in jail, and he thought that for some reason it would help his case if he confessed, because they'd go back and analyze it better and, like, reopen it. So he was like, hey, I killed this person. I did it. Go look at my case. And I bet you when you look at the evidence, you'll see that doesn't make any sense and you'll let me go. And it got him the death penalty. And while he was on death row, DNA evidence came out and they looked at his case and went, oh, wait, you were right. You're free. Sorry about that. Shit happens. Yeah,
imagine how many legitimately innocent people are behind bars right now.
That's the scariest fucking thing I can think of.
It is incredibly scary.
No, I'm not talking. What kind of
restitution do they get upon once that's found out? They can't add years back to their lives.
Usually they
sometimes they get to sue the state, yeah.
They get a shitload of money, usually.
No. They don't get a shitload of money. I remember one guy who was falsely imprisoned for like 20 years. He came out and they gave him 19 grand, I think it was.
Wow.
After everything settled, they gave him 19 grand. I'm gonna look that up.
Cool.
See, I guess maybe it depends on like who you are and where this happens, because I read of a guy who was in prison falsely for 3 days. Just on nothing. And when he got out, he got $78,000.
I'll take that deal.
I would take that too.
Where
do I send my resume?
It's over $20,000 a day just to be in prison. I'd take that. Fuck.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is all over the place. This guy got $27 million to a Massachusetts man who was wrongly convicted of murder.
For how long? How long was he in jail for?
27 years. He got $1 million for each year.
I'm not taking that.
No, I wouldn't do that.
27 of probably your best years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Down the slammer. I mean, if you look at it as $1 million a year job that your family, that's like money that can save your family. Even if it's not like you're gonna get your life back.
That's a hard job, though. I mean, you're losing your entire life to it.
Wait, Kaya, of course I'm not saying that I get out of that situation 27 years in jail, wrongly accused or whatever. I get out of that and go, no, I don't want your money. Of course I'm fucking taking the money in that situation. I'm saying I don't want to be in that situation in the first place. I'm not going into that situation.
I get it. Yeah. Even then, I think a lot of people would take that deal. I mean, shit. Between rotting in a cubicle for minimum wage or earning $1 million a year, you know, that's the kind of job that a Walter White would take for his family's sake.
No, just think of all the situations and encounters that you miss in 27 years. Your mom might die while you're in prison, you know?
Yeah, maybe she's gonna ride in a golden casket.
She'd be so proud.
Everybody thinks my son is a murderer. Yay.
Yeah, she died thinking you were a murderer.
Oh, that's the worst one. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is the worst one. It's fucking fuck. I feel sad for people. Like, there should be some sort of a, I don't know, like when you get falsely accused and there's still so many search results on like Google and shit that still accuse you of murder. And even on a smaller scale, like, you know, all the fucking YouTubers that get accused weekly of being pedophiles. It's like, that word is now, until the end of time, linked to your name with zero evidence. Yep,
that's the problem with association and stigma.
You know, if you want to quit being a YouTuber or Twitch streamer or whatever and decide to get a traditional job, like, your employer is going to search up your name and going to come across hundreds of posts on social media accusing you of being this evil fucking demonic rapist.
They won't see
no merit.
They won't see proof acquitting you or anything like that. They'll just see the articles, like the original articles that come out at the start of the accusations.
But that's when you can turn it on your boss and you start printing articles about him being a rapist and a pedophile.
You better hire me or I'll call you a pedophile. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to sign it with your real name. You just get a movement going behind it.
Well, see, that's the sad fact about association. So you not only have all that, but you also have the people who aren't educated on it. So they'll hear the story through secondhand sources. Like, let's say fucking Tom Hardy is accused of assault. Like, just throw an example
you
out there.
Son of a bitch.
And then later they prove it didn't happen. You're still going to have thousands of people who heard from their friend, hey, Tom Hardy is getting arrested for assault. And that's all they know.
Yeah.
So till the end of time, they're going to think it happened.
They then tell people that as
exactly.
Well. It just continues on from there.
And even then, the people who know that it wasn't true, they're still going to have that stigma in their mind where they're going to be like, oh, he was arrested for assault. Like, oh, yeah, it didn't happen. But still, my brain's saying Tom Hardy plus assault. Don't forget it. Association's fucking powerful.
There's still people out there who think that Johnny Depp, his situation was this completely one-sided thing where he just decided to smack around this completely innocent little angel damsel in distress.
Yeah.
She should
have. You know, when
bed.
It just wasn't the case. It happens on the fucking daily. You see these fucking people tweeting out an article and they get like 200,000 likes and then they have a follow-up tweet that says like, oh, sorry guys, turns out I was lying and that was complete bullshit and none of that happened. And it gets like two likes. You know, the correction gets like 0.01% of the engagement.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got to really fucking suck to be in that situation for those people.
I mean, the people that long term, I think the people that hurt the most are like genuine victims, because at some point it's going to swing the other way and people are just not going to take any accusations seriously.
We're already really getting to that point quickly, I'd say.
Yeah. Like, we're jaded, for God's sake. Yeah. Every time I hear an accusation, I roll my eyes and I go, okay, what happened? With like the least enthusiasm you could possibly muster for like the plight of a possible victim. It's just, I don't buy it anymore off the bat.
You know what you should buy though?
God damn it. I was going to say that exact sentence. Fuck.
Now what should you buy? I want to know.
It was too obvious.
What you should consider buying, Jackson, who of the four of us obviously doesn't know what's going on, is cryptocurrency through Kraken. Because for the last 10 years... Yeah,
currently a big dip in crypto. Buy right now. As you listen to this live, who get to listen in live right now, there's a big dip currently in almost every cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
This is the moment.
I don't think any of us need to mention that crypto is extremely fucking volatile and popular right now. And it's solid.
It's going up.
No, volatile as in it's like a good time to get in and it'll soon be a good time to sell.
Like, we promise.
It's a very, very good thing to invest in, whether you're looking to make some money or invest for the long haul. In fact, so first of all, I use Kraken. I really use Kraken. I've been using it for over a year now. I love Kraken. It's extremely easy to use and has a ton of different coins. But let me tell you this. I was watching a stream of something from about 2 years ago. And these guys were discussing what they would do if they had a sum of money that they were wagering. And one guy said, I'd put it into crypto. And everyone laughed at him. They literally were like, oh, yeah, just like the housing market in 2008. Ha ha ha. Just two fucking years ago, Crypto was still this laughing topic, but now look at it. It's everywhere. It's blowing up. It's a great investment. Prices are sometimes dipping, so you can still get in. There is never a better time than now to put your money into crypto. And let me tell you something. Kraken is a great place to do it. I use Kraken all the fucking time. Once a week, I'll check the prices of everything. Put a little money here, a little money there. It's easy. Kraken helps you do that. Kraken will also give you their industry-leading staking service, where you can put your crypto to work and earn up to 20% in additional rewards annually. Payouts are twice a week, and it takes just a few clicks to get started. Kraken's got popular altcoins, Ethereum, Dogecoin, Polkadot. They've got tons, honestly. Just go to their listings, see what they've got there. You'll probably be surprised. They've got ones you haven't heard of, but you'll go, eh, looks promising. Why not? Visit kraken.com/official to learn more. That's kraken.com/official. I mean, we all use Kraken. I know for a fact I've been using Kraken for a long time now, and I really like it. It's one of my primary traders.
What happened to that guy that you were talking about?
They didn't go anywhere with it. It was just something they were talking about.
You got bullied to death?
Well, it was a hypothetical.
It was a hypothetical. But I just find it funny that only 2 years ago, they were laughing at the idea of investing in crypto. And now it's one of the hot button topics everywhere. It's insane.
Oh, it's all the boomers. It's, you know, every 5 years, boomers have to admit that they were wrong. And I love it. It comes in waves, like where they had to go, YouTubers, that's not a real job. 5 years later, okay, it's a real job. Damn it. And now for 10 fucking years, it was like crypto isn't real. It's a bubble. It's gonna crash. It's fucking stupid. It's a children's toy. And now the IRS is investigating methods on how to tax crypto. The IRS has recently in June asked for help. They're now asking for tools to help people to help them identify or like trace privacy coins. It's like, oh, is it real now? IRS, is it real now? You asshole, huh? Sounds like it's real to me now that they're trying to fucking tax it. By the way, again, please learn crypto, all of you. It helps people that you want to support on the internet too, by the way. Like on Twitch, I now let people donate to me with crypto. And it shows up like any other donation on screen. The only difference is that fucking PayPal doesn't rob me of a percentage of the money that people donate.
You like, should fucking message me on how to do that. I didn't know you could do that.
I've never even heard of that as an option. That is pretty wild. Did you invent that, Kaya?
he coded it last night.
No, I'll remind me in our private chat. I'll show you guys how to set that up. It's very, very easy. But no, it's like I looked at this fucking thing. Like some guy donates $3 to me, right? And PayPal takes like 49 cents of it. That is true. Why not let that guy donate Litecoin instead, where the transaction cost is like 0.00 something cents. It's nothing. It's negligible. It's a speck of dust.
There was that fucking guy in the news not too long ago where he transferred, what was it, like $400 million worth of Bitcoin. And when they asked why he did it through Bitcoin, he was like, because I didn't want to lose a shitload of the money doing it. Like
is this another one of your fucking hypotheticals, Andrew?
What?
Is this going to confuse me? Is this another one of your hypotheticals?
No, this actually happened.
Does this guy exist?
Yeah. This one's real, I swear. But no, he got interviewed on why he transferred so much money through crypto. They were like, are you insane? It's not, you know, wouldn't you rather do a bank where there's all these security measures in this? And he was like, fuck no, they're going to take a shitload of that. Or if I do it through PayPal whatever.
Jackson, even I do that now for sums that I want to send people. It's like, okay, I have a grant to send to my friend. Do I want to do it through the bank? Okay, let's try that. Oh, your business transaction will be completed within like 3 to 4 business days. Okay, boomer. Or I can just do it on Litecoin in like literally 9 minutes, right? Why the fuck would I wait on your ass?
And that's the other funny thing. Bitcoin, which is the worst for transfer rates, it still completes in like 2 hours at the worst. It's still faster than some transfers through banks. It's absurd. Yeah. It's just easier.
So many coins are transfer instantly, like almost, and cost next to nothing. It's just beautiful. It is the future. Fuck you. Fuck the banks. But of course, the banks are eventually going to just take it over and regulate the shit out of it. But still, until then, let's have fun. Try to support your creators with
crypto. Let's get rich. What's the one that just exploded? Dogecoin?
Doge is going up.
That's a funny thing. I'm stubborn. I'm still going to call it doggy coin. Fuck everybody. I don't care if I get lynched for this. But
no, that's right.
What's funny to me is I woke up today, I looked at my entire portfolio, and all of the coins, they took a nosedive, right?
Yep.
Except Doggy Coin. My fucking Shiba Inu meme coin.
Exact fucking same thing happened to me. Every single coin down except Doge, which went up.
how much have you guys made?
Millions? I'm not telling you.
A lot.
Not millions.
I'll fucking tell you. So I missed it, obviously. I missed like the big boom where I was waiting for it to go back down to like 2 cents from five, but it never did. So it went from 5 cents to 47 cents, and I was feeling real shitty. Mm-hmm. Yesterday at 27 cents, I put money into it. And just from last night, I got in it like, I don't know, it must have been like 9 p.m. From that time till now, I've made like $800 off of this, like the increases just today.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Are you gonna hold on to it?
Oh yeah, no, I'm not selling any of the cryptos for years. Yeah. There's no reason to.
I got super tempted to sell, but then every single time I remembered, no, I'd rather just have the crypto. I don't want the money right now. I want to own the crypto.
you just like the crypto.
That's another beautiful part. So there's multiple aspects to this. You should hold for the longer term because I don't know what it is like in America right now, but in many countries, the longer you hold something, an asset, the fewer taxes you have to pay on it. So if you hold like crypto for a year, you have to pay fewer taxes on it than if you immediately cash it out the next day if you make a profit. Also, like I said, if you donate crypto to your friends or to people that you want to support, it's not just like donating cash money, like $5, a stable amount, but it's almost like you're donating stocks. Like that's a cool part about it. You're donating something that's only going to increase in value. That's a fun part about it to me.
Yeah, I think that is a really cool part as well.
I won't go into specific numbers, but if we're counting from when I very first invested into crypto to now, I've more than quadrupled my money. Like, it's something everyone should be doing now. If you out there listening are kind of intimidated by it, or you feel like it's investing and I don't feel comfortable in this and that, it is a very easy way to make money if you're not stupid about it. If you just take a second to do some
Googling. Not financial advice, by the way.
Not at all. No, no, no.
You're probably going to...
Not at all.
It's going to take you a long time to learn, and chances are you're probably going to lose a little. So don't put your whole life savings into it immediately. Play around a little. That's my advice. Like, take like $100 if you have it to spare. Like, take like 2 or 3 video games' worth of money and put it in, and then just like...
Nope, fuck that.
I don't know, make 2 separate wallets, send it to yourself, send it back, convert it, withdraw its deposits, you know, learn how it works. Educate yourself.
Trust your old friend Jackson over here. Invest every single cent you have. Just go wild. Don't even look into it.
Take a pair of
like
dice.
It's roulette, baby.
Take a pair of dice.
That's exactly how I play it, baby. I don't even know what half the shit I'm in does.
Take a pair of dice. On one die, paint different cryptos. On the other die, paint $1,000 amounts and roll them and just do that. And you'll make a shitload of money. Trust me.
You'll make the news. That'd be fun.
Like, you know what's crazy? So there is a few stories I read about people that have sold all of their possessions. One guy I remember back in 2016 sold his house and everything, put it all into Bitcoin and became like an 8-figure millionaire.
God,
and
that's so fucking cool.
Yeah, and then a guy just recently did that for Dogecoin and made like $1.8 million.
I still see it getting passed around the internet all the time, but that fucking fighting game tournament. Where people were eighth. So first place was like $500, but then eighth place was 25 Bitcoins.
Yeah.
God, there were so many opportunities.
I know, man.
Nah.
God. It's painful.
Well, think about it this way. There's always going to be new opportunities in the future. We just have to be early. Like, there will be a Bitcoin of the future. We just have to find it.
Yeah, and it's Cardano, baby. That's the one.
That's
Bitcoin
a good one.
Of number
ADA.
2.
Yeah.
ADA.
ADA. I like Graph. GRT. Woo! Build it up.
They're all fucking good. Just look into it, all right? Just learn it. Yeah. It's good for you.
Yeah.
No. Don't piss away your money, but
oh, you guys remember my Sia coin? Remember my Sia coin we used to joke about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sia coin, baby.
When I got in, it was like an eighth of a penny. It's now 3 pennies. So it's like, I don't have it all anymore. It's locked away in a wall that I can't access. Ooh.
That's probably good money.
But you couldn't trust yourself?
So you don't have any of it.
No, I don't have any of it.
That sucks.
What do you mean you can't access it? Did you forget your wallet password or something?
Yeah, there's a password and then there's a 12-digit code that you have to input to get back into the wallet. I think the wallet I used was like Atomic Wallet or something. I'm forgetting the name now, but I don't have any of the information to get back into it. And the hard drive that it was on, I no longer have either.
Oh my God, Charlie.
That hurts.
Well, then I hope Siacoin isn't the next Bitcoin then.
It won't be. It can't be.
If it skyrockets tomorrow, I'm gonna put you on the suicide hotline.
I had so much fucking coin.
Oh boy.
I can actually see that happening now, knowing Charlie. Well, no, Charlie's pretty lucky.
No, when it comes to this shit, Jackson, I have zero luck. 100%. I miss all of this shit, and then I'm always wrong about the ones I do go into. And it's always so bad.
Are you going to be another one of those horror stories, like the guy who has like 20 Bitcoin on a wallet that he can't find?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think now I'm actually going to buy a fuck ton of Sia coin tonight. That shit's going.
I'm thinking about it.
Always back up your fucking shit. I don't know. I was just, this was all just so much more prevalent and people knew more about crypto in general.
Charlie, like, why did you have to say that? While we're on the topic of it, like 3 weeks ago, probably a little more, I was looking at cryptos to invest in and I was scrolling through the listing and I saw Sia coin and I was like, oh yeah, that's the thing Charlie got into. Fuck that. And I just kept growing.
You ruined their brand image.
The way that you presented it made it feel like such a blow off that I didn't even consider it.
Don't ever. That's the number one lesson in these fucking crypto times. Don't ever blow off a meme coin or a shit coin. Because that's what I used to think too. It's like sushi coin. Fuck you. I'm putting this shit into Ethereum or whatever. And then the next day, sushi coin is up like 20%. And I'm thinking, fuck. Damn it.
I mean, you want to know something?
Me and my prejudiced ass.
You want to know something just as sad? I think I said this. I was able to get my Ethereum and Litecoin back like 6 months ago because I was on a different wallet. I sold it all that same day at like lows. Ugh. Whereas now all of that shit is so fucking high.
Oh, God.
Sold a lot of Ethereum and Litecoin.
Ooh, yeah, that sucks, man.
Come on, man.
Again, not business advice, but for all the young people listening, never sell it at a loss. Never, ever.
Well, it wasn't a loss. It was up from what I bought it at, but it was like a fraction of what it is now.
The number one rule that I've found from personally doing investing is if you don't need the money, don't sell. Like, it's very tempting to sell when it's high, but it could like just skyrocket. And on the other hand, it could crash, but that just means you didn't sell it. And the whole point is if you don't need the money, it's better to have the asset because the asset could always go up. So it's better to do that than to take like an immediate profit because you never know what it's going to do, whether it's going to go down or up.
It was like fucking 30 Ethereum or something. Jesus Christ, I'm just thinking about it
and
now.
It's only going to increase, man. All of the institutions are moving in on this shit. They're all in on this fucking shit now. Like, this is going to become very mainstream. Like I told you guys, I mean, so in Turkey, since the last episode, I was talking about how the boomers in Turkey are now hearing about Bitcoin. So our financial institutions have heard about this. They've now banned paying with crypto.
Now, that's a bad time.
That still means you can still buy and hold crypto, though. Unlike in India, where I think India wants to ban crypto outright. They want to make it illegal to even own crypto, but...
Wow.
You know, how the fuck are you going to trace every single person who has, like, a... Again, downloading a fucking offline wallet and making a wallet and taking a... donation from your friend.
How are you gonna ban that? Yeah, how are you gonna ban that when you can't even ban people shitting in the streets or whatever?
Damn.
Damn. Shots fired.
Well, no, that's like super common there. We all know that.
I'm not disagreeing. But yeah, I mean, like I said, even, you know, my biggest two things, examples are always Visa and MasterCard. Like, my mom is the biggest boomer on earth, right? She can't even send an email. Every single week, I get a call from her like, Kaya, I don't know what's wrong with the internet. I think it's broken again. And, she, you know, somehow she found a way to disconnect from the Wi-Fi. That's it. And she has no idea what crypto is. But I promise you that the second MasterCard starts sending her spam in the emails and via snail mail, about how they now offer crypto payments, she's gonna know what Bitcoin is overnight. It's still, there's so many markets for this shit to still move into.
Well, do you think that she would become more investment savvy if she got a good night's sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, it would definitely be because she's sleeping on a Helix mattress. I have a funny story about a Helix mattress, actually. One time I was very tired and I looked around my apartment and I went, the Helix mattress. I see. I'll take a nap on that. And I went to sleep and I woke up. And that's the whole funny story, because if you have a good mattress, you should stay asleep and be comfortable and nothing unusual should happen. And that's what happens when you sleep on a Helix mattress. Because let me tell you something, sleeping on a terrible mattress sucks. Sleeping on an unsupportive mattress sucks. It's not great. In fact, sleeping on a mattress that isn't your kind of mattress, it sucks. Now, what do I mean by that? Helix will have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. They have mattresses designed to cool you down if you're a hot sleeper. They even have Helix Plus mattresses for plus-sized folks. It doesn't matter how you want to sleep. You can find the exact kind of mattress that will help you sleep. Now, if you're one of those people who for some reason doesn't meticulously and obsessively monitor each and every facet of your sleep cycle, I mean, I can barely think of anyone who doesn't do that, you can go and take their quiz, which will find the right mattress for you and then ship it to your door for free. Do you want to go to a mattress store? No. Do you want to lay down on their demo mattresses that literally hundreds of other people have laid on that same day? No. You want to take a fun little quiz that tells you exactly the kind of mattress you need. It's that easy. And all you have to do is go to helixsleep.com/official to take this 2-minute quiz and get the customized mattress that'll help you out with a 10-year warranty and 100 nights for free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. Helix is offering up to $200 off of all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/official. I know you were foaming at the mouth ready to get this product when you heard, oh my God, a free fun quiz and a mattress? You didn't even need $200 off and 2 free pillows, but we're going to throw it in just because we love you. That's helixsleep.com/official. $200 off every order, as well as 2 free pillows. And you're going to know that order is pretty good because you took a quiz that tells you it will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like the IQ test of mattresses.
Yeah, the sleep cue. So right,
enough about crypto.
I saw a fun topic I wanted to bring up. I was talking about before we started the show. Kaya posted this news article that Scrabble officially bans racial slurs. and I can't get the thought out of my head that let's say you're at the grand championship of Scrabble and the board is really locked down and you need a good amount of points to win. And you go, oh, I think at minimum I need a 6-letter word and it's got to fit right here. And based on the board and my letters, I can only put down the N-word.
If it gets me the victory. Fuck you. It's a legal word. It exists. We all know it. And if it's going to win me the goddamn cup, you're going to get called a slur, motherfucker. This is happening.
But Kaya, here's my follow-up question. Kaya doesn't even put the things here's on my the follow-up board, question, Kaya. What if your opponent's black? Does that make it worse?
Then he's a black loser. And I walk away with the first prize. I don't care. Like, no offense. You can feel free if it gets you the points. Use some slurs against Turkish people, my man. It's I'm not gonna get mad. But by the way, you left out the part of the headline that says competitive players furious. So I didn't know that Scrabble even had a competitive scene. This was unbeknownst to me.
Like, why MLG? Why are they mad about it? Was that common at the World Championships to be playing slurs in their games?
That was the only place they could say
that's
them.
The meta.
I'll read two tweets in the replies here. So one person says, I feel like if those players can't be competitive without racial slurs, they aren't actually very competitive. And another guy replies to this. He says, Scrabble is a game of configuring the symbols optimally to maximize score. There will be innumerable situations where those offensive configurations are optimal. It's a combinatorial problem. There are correct answers that go beyond one's feelings. So this Terminator is, in my opinion, absolutely correct. Again, if the combinatorial polynomial algorithms align just in the right way, then I need to call you...
You're not calling anyone any slurs. You're putting it on a board. It's like not
The other part. That's a fucked up part. Like, it's not like I'm calling my opponent or anybody in the audience's thing. It's literally just Scrabble is a game about words. It is a word that exists. Why can't I use it? It is a thing. It exists. We all know the fucking word. It's like if you banned the word da. Like, come on. It is a thing.
Well, some words are banned from Scrabble, correct?
I believe certain outdated words are banned. I don't know.
I don't know enough about competitive Scrabble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was like a Scrabble. I thought there was like a Scrabble dictionary with like legal the, like, words.
So reading the article, it says Mattel, which owns the rights to the game outside of North America, has been accused of bowing down to political correctness by removing a list of 400 derogatory terms.
Oh, wow.
Can I get a list of that, please? For no reason, just my research purposes. I will like your tone.
They're not even
400 racial slurs.
They're not even doing this for big bucks. Historically, the grand prize for the World Scrabble Championship, which is the like Super Bowl of Scrabble, the winner only gets about $10,000. That's it.
Oh, that's
$10,000 for saying the N-word. That's pretty good.
It's also just like a simple board game for your family and friends. I mean, that's more than you should expect to get.
Oh, the Scrabble players are going to come for your head now. Yeah, simple game, you say.
Careful.
What do you mean?
Careful.
Charlie, no. Right, sorry, yeah, that's fucked up.
That was a bit
much. We're talking about racist terms. Just somehow Charlie said the most offensive thing.
It's a big brain game about words and combinations and the algorithms at work here. All the planets have to align just right.
I think this brings up
interesting.
I think this is an interesting debate because it's like games constantly limit what players can do for the sake of competitiveness. But I don't know. It's such a weirdly specific scenario.
I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't fucking care. They can ban racist words. And
well, they can do whatever they want.
I genuinely don't care.
They can do whatever they want. They made the game. But here's the funny thing. It's not banned for strictly competitive reasons. Let's say you're playing like a video game and a character is overpowered. They get banned from use because they're too good, or they homogenize the game to make it where everyone does that. But with this, like, people probably very rarely are using these words.
Well, you don't know. Maybe the N-word is super overpowered. How many points is the N-word? I don't know how Scrabble works.
It's explicitly in the rules that it's worth three times the word value.
Yeah, you can use a racist term. You get a point multiplier.
Double slur bonus.
Does it get a multiplier against minority opponents? Like, how does it work? Why did they have to ban this?
Oh, good. It's fucking... It's whatever. Jesus.
It's funny, though. It's a funny situation, Let's be honest.
It is fucking funny. And at the end of the day, whatever. It's not going to affect my personal life. If for whatever reason I decided to have a lapse in judgment and play Scrabble in private, you're not stopping me. I'm going to use made-up words, too. Fuck you.
Well, also, it's not like... It doesn't limit your freedom of speech. You don't have, like, an innate freedom of Scrabble word placement. You know what I mean? Like, that's not your... That's not a right... Who cares?
It is in America, goddammit.
It's still, it's still banning shit for no fucking reason other than for political pandering, but whatever. But it really doesn't affect. Does this affect anyone besides the three professional Scrabble players that might exist on the planet?
Yeah, Kaya's not wrong, by the way. The grand level tournament only had 50 entrants this year.
Well, that's because of the pandemic. That's the only reason.
That's true. Right?
Oh, it's because of the, racism.
The year before, it was only 75.
Well, you could see it's a steep decline due to the pandemic.
Yeah, they were waiting for it.
Hmm.
I imagine the crowd based around a competitive word spelling game is super, like, elitist and annoying anyway.
Oh, God, yeah. They must suck ass.
Isn't that the same case with the spelling bee and such? They must be a bunch of dorks.
Well, spelling bee players are typically kids, right?
Yeah, they're like 8-year-olds usually.
Kids. do they ban racial slurs at the spelling bee?
Well, the adults pick the words. I'm assuming they just don't use racist words.
Kaya, do you think the kids go to the spelling bee and choose what word they have to spell?
I don't know.
Or is this random?
No, yeah, my word is I. My next word is A.
I don't fucking know. I don't keep up with word games.
Yeah, because they're not very fun. It's just dumb.
I like board games. I like good board games.
Yeah, like, is it like a one-time thing, not a professional sport to dedicate your life to?
If you guys had to be a professional at a board game, which game would you pick?
Chess.
Oh, fuck. That's the easy one. Okay, a kid's board game. A children's board game like Scrabble.
Candyland.
I'd go Battleship.
Oh,
yeah. Battleship.
Battleship.
Yeah, Connect Four would be super easy.
You think so? I think Connect Four, yeah, you'd have like, to go first wait, or you're fucked at a competitive level.
Well, there's like a 50-50 chance of you always you going first. So I'd win some matches at least.
Clue actually would be a good one. Ooh. Is there a penalty in Clue for wrong guesses? Because I imagine the meta would be you play, like every turn you play a guess and then eventually someone gets it right.
Yeah. I actually really like Clue. Clue's a good game.
Clue was one of my favorite board games.
Clue is a lot of fun. You need an impartial judge, though, to read over the answer, because other like the whole point with Clue is that when you take a guess, you look to see if you're right.
Yeah.
So you would need to like regulate.
You would definitely have a judge. You would definitely have it for professional Clue. You would definitely have a judge who knows the answer.
Right.
Who can
I totally forgot that that's how it goes in Clue. You look at the answer.
Yeah.
And then what happens from there again?
I believe you look at the answer, or you're out. Yeah, you look at the answer, and if you're
okay.
wrong, then you're done. So most people wait until they have a good guess.
Gotcha. Making a guess is your final action of the game, regardless. Gotcha. Like you either win or you're out. Otherwise, you'd see the answer. That would make no sense.
I think I want to be a professional in that game where you have a little crocodile and you have to pull its teeth, and sometimes
hungry hippos.
That's not a crocodile.
Is it? I thought it was a crocodile.
The crocodile chomper.
There's like, that's like a pretty niche one. I think it's like a toothache game where you're meant to pull the tooth out.
Ooh, Operation.
That's not it.
No, I know it's not it, but that's also another one I would like to get professional, like an e-sport player. Well, I guess it would be a real sport, not e, but still.
Kaya, you're thinking of Crocodile Dentist. I just looked it up.
Probably.
Yeah, that game's fun.
Cool name, too.
Oh, yeah, it is.
What about the game where you stick your head in the hole and pie hits your face sometimes? You guys know that one?
What?
Yep, that's definitely a homemade game.
That's an Australian game, if I've ever heard of it.
No, it's called bullying. It's genuinely not. No, it's someone said in chat pie face. It's an actual game. You put the whipped cream on the little like robotic hand, and I can't remember how it works, but like at some point someone gets pie in their face. Oh, I know that.
Fucking cream
idiots.
Yeah. What's that gif? Fucking dumb granny getting pie in her face. Idiot.
Noob.
I'm not even sure if that's really a game. It's just someone getting pie in their face.
Yeah, it's just pretty dumb.
It looks like a real game.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. How long have we been going?
Hour and 10.
A little over hour.
Okay, I can wrap unless you guys have another.
Yeah, we can wrap, but I still have one last thing that I want to ask about. Does anyone know about the Brony Shooter? People keep talking about it in chat, and I'm curious about what the Brony Shooter is.
I just looked that up since people in the chat were talking about it. There was a shooting at a FedEx place yesterday where 8 people were shot and killed by a 19-year-old kid who was part of the Brony fandom. Apparently
that
he said
exists.
Yeah, apparently on his Facebook group or his Facebook page, he said he wanted to die so he could be with Applejack.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking disgusting. Weird shit, man.
Well, they're now together in hell. This is highly reminiscent of Randy Stairs, aka Andrew Blaze.
Yeah, he killed himself. He killed himself.
Fucking Facebook put out an internal memo mentioning Brony online culture has displayed elements of far right and white nationalism. Holy shit.
They don't even exist anymore. This guy must have been the last of his kind, the last of the Mohicans, the Bronies.
That's why he was so alone. That's why he's so lonely.
Well, they must still exist because he's only 19. He would have been a kid when Bronies
were big.
Yeah,
he's a new recruit.
Yeah, he's absolutely.
Yeah, he would have been the My Little Pony intended audience.
It's not popular anymore, but it's definitely still around. People are still into it.
So, hang on. Do you guys remember Andrew Blaze? This was the guy who shot his coworkers at a grocery store who thought that when he does. He thought that the ghosts in Danny Phantom were real, and
he
that he
wanted
was going
to
be reunited with his ghosts.
Yeah, Ember, Danny Phantom, the rock and roll ghost. He wanted to fuck her and be her boyfriend.
She's kind of hot, though.
So. Not she just super hot, I understand. I think he thought I think he thought that he was a female ghost, Danny Phantom ghost, trapped in a body, in a human body, and that he was going to join the rock band from Danny Phantom if he kills himself. I feel like antipsychotics would have helped a lot in this situation. None of that adds up.
Yeah. I'm pretty confused. Well, yeah, that's fucking sad, but it's also sad to think that the My Little Pony fandom has been tarnished today. I don't know if there's any continuing from there.
When do you think this kind of thing's going to happen, but for Among Us?
What are you talking about? What?
I when do you think the fucking shooter? Like someone's going to be all like, oh, I want to be a crewmate. It's going to be real. And they're going to do something terrible.
Well, the crewmates,
I'm guessing in like 5 years from now, probably. They always seem to have a delay on it. Like 5 years after the Brony Phantom is fucking over, this guy does it. Like 10 years almost after Danny Phantom was over, that guy kills people. So yeah, I feel like in five years we're going to have a guy he's going to break into a fucking bank. He's going to go, everybody here is sus, and start shooting.
You remember, you guys remember 10 years after Slender Man was popular, that those two young girls did the Slender Man
killing? What is it with these fucking people picking video games and cartoons to paste their fucking manifestos around?
Well, if you're insane, well, it's pretty obvious to me. If you're insane enough to kill someone, I mean, you're going to be insane enough to believe those fictional worlds have some kind of impact on your life.
Yeah.
I guess.
I wouldn't put it beyond someone on the internet who's like, yeah, I was doing Among Us stuff and I shot him because I thought he was a real life imposter or something. I could see someone doing that.
People are insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, to wrap up, Jackson, as you know, we have a long standing tradition. Every week we read some reviews we get on Apple Podcasts. So, Rogan left us a 5-star review. Headlined Amugus, titled Amogulus. So thank you, Rogan, for that comment, that review. This is from ya boy Lil Memer, also 5 stars. He says Amogus. Wow. Thank you. This is from the Salty Clam.
Are they all Amogus? Can we skip ahead?
Well, stay tuned, Jackson. Hang on, there's a twist. The Salty Clam says Amogus. That is also a 5-star review. Jay Cleveland 10 says, since Kaya asked nicely, see the twist? That's 5 stars.
That is a
twist. He did go back to edit his comment to say Amogus, though. Cool, so thank you. Cool. Thanks for the reviews. Whatever. As long as they're 5 stars, I guess I don't give a shit. So thanks. Continue leaving us 5-star reviews, please, on Apple, iTunes, and everywhere else.
So are we pretty popular among the Amogus crowd?
It's funny, too, because the fucking Patreon chat is like, oh, they're bringing up Amogus again. And yet that's what the fucking audience is doing without us.
Hey, I'm thankful. I don't care what you meme. As long as it's a 5-star review, put your favorite meme. I don't give a shit. Thank you. I'm appreciative.
Send us your favorite Jared Fogle meme.
Jesus, Jackson.
Wait, I said meme.
What is the Jared Fogle meme?
There's probably like negative memes. Yeah, there's probably like plenty of negative memes out there about
giving a child a foot long.
Oh, well, okay. I don't want that. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up while we finish the episode. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening to this week's episode.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Ciao.
Bye.